Amen. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, go with me to Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4. On Sunday mornings, we're talking about the convictions of a healthy church. Conviction 1, we preach the gospel. Conviction 2, we share the gospel. Last Sunday night, we said we celebrate the gospel through baptism in the Lord's Supper. This morning's conviction, we make disciples. We make disciples. Now, when I was in college, I had a cake job. I worked at a Sears selling big screen TVs. So I got paid to watch sports in high definition while selling a few televisions on the side. It was great. Well, during my 3 years at Sears, they were going through something of a metamorphosis as a company. For years, their identity had been tied to brands like Craftsman and Kenmore. But they had a new CEO who had a new vision for the company. And he invested millions in a high-end clothing line called Land's End. And he wanted Sears to become a destination for clothing. Because everybody knows when you want to buy some nice clothes, you go to Sears, right? Well, almost immediately, the company began to crumble. Instead of doing a few things with excellence, they decided to do a lot of things with mediocrity. There were once 3,500 Sears locations in the United States. Today, there are 17. Unfortunately, a lot of churches have a Sears mentality. They devote massive amounts of time and resources and volunteers to projects that lie outside of the mission and identity of the church. What is the mission of the church? Well, the Lord told us in the Great Commission, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." The word teach means to make disciples. To say it clearly, the mission of the local church is making disciples. Now, there are thousands of good things that churches can do. We can offer support groups, provide housing for people released from prison. We can build gyms so families will have a decent place to exercise. We can plant gardens so impoverished people will have access to fresh food and vegetables. And all of those things are good, and somebody should do them. We could organize Christian biker gangs, softball leagues, comedian troops, and wrestling matches. And over the years, I have been invited for our church to participate in all of the above and much, much more. But here's the truth. If we give ourselves to the thousands of good things that churches can do, we will miss the one thing Christ has commanded us to do, and that is to make disciples. So instead of doing a lot of things with mediocrity, a healthy church decides to do one thing with excellence, and the one thing is making disciples. Now, the greatest disciple maker to ever live was the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Matthew chapter 4, he gives us his strategy for taking ordinary men and transforming them into people that can change the world. Look at Matthew chapter 4. We'll begin our reading in verse number 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway or immediately left their nets and followed him. I want you to notice that Jesus does three things for these men that we would call his disciples. First of all, he reaches them. He leaves his geographical location to go where lost men are, and he invites them to follow him. He reaches them. But number two, he grows them. He said, "Follow me and I will make you." Follow me and you're going to grow. You can come to me just the way you are, but you cannot stay that way. I'm going to make you into something. I'm going to grow you. So he reaches them. He grows them. Lastly, he sends them. Follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. And what I'm going to do for you, you're going to do it for a whole lot of other people. You're going to learn how to reach people. You're going to learn how to grow people. And you're going to learn how to send them. Now, that was the Lord Jesus' disciple-making strategy, and I hardly think that we can improve upon that. So when it comes to every event on the calendar, every dollar we spend, every volunteer we train, we want to ask three questions around here. Number one, does it reach people? Number two, does it grow people? Number three, does it send people? And if it does not reach people, grow people, or send people, we're not going to do it. It may be a good thing, but it is not the one thing that Christ has commanded us to do, and we must give ourselves to the one thing of making disciples. Now, I want to be very practical this morning, and let's ask a question. How do we make disciples at Worth Baptist Church? Once we lead a person to Christ, What happens next? And what do we as a church need to get awful good at if we're going to see men like Peter and James and John developed in our midst? Well, I want you to know that a local church develops disciples by doing three things. Number one, we equip for ministry. Number two, we measure our maturity. Number three, we accept responsibility. I want you to turn with me in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4, if you will. And we are going to be in a few different passages of Scripture today. Ephesians chapter 4 teaches that discipleship begins with a local church. A local church is the greenhouse where a new believer grows into a mature follower of Jesus Christ. It teaches that discipleship begins when church leaders equip church members to do the work of the ministry. So I want you to see this. The biblical vision of a church is not a few people working for the mission and everyone else watching those people work. The vision of a New Testament church is of every New Testament believer rolling up his sleeves and getting involved in the work of the ministry. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This passage tells us how we take immature believers and develop them so they can get to the next level in their spiritual life. Now, verse 11 tells us that it starts with some gifted men that God gives to the church for the growth of the people. He talks about apostles. He gave some apostles. The word apostle just means sent one. And in this passage, it refers specifically to the New Testament apostles chosen by Christ. And I don't have a lot of time to elaborate, but let me say there are no modern day apostles today. They all died out in the first century. Then it says he gave some prophets. This is also speaking about New Testament prophets. In the first century, New Testament prophets spoke for God. When they spoke the word of God. They didn't have a completed New Testament. So when they spoke in their prophetic role, every word they said was the word of God. Thank God we have the completed canon of Scripture and a more sure word of prophecy, so we don't need any more prophets, at least in that sense. So those two offices were gone in the first century. He gave some apostles, he gave some prophets. This next group of people are very involved today, however. They are evangelists. They are specialists in the gospel. And they serve the church by equipping people to reach others for Jesus Christ. And we need that role today. Then he says, and he gave some pastors and teachers. Now notice that there is no definite article before teacher, and a conjunction connects them. So I've always taken pastor and teacher to be the same person. Pastor is his position. Teaching is his primary responsibility. So these are the gifted men that God gives to the church for growth. Now, why did God give these men? Look at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So verse 12, he gives these gifted men for the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting doesn't mean you're sinless, it means you're equipped. The word perfecting means equipping. To make someone completely adequate or sufficient for something. This word was used to fishermen who would mend their net so it would work and make the net adequate for catching fish. It was also used of a doctor who would reset a broken bone. I'm going to make it adequate so it will work. So the pastor's job is to equip the people in the church so they will be adequate to do the work of the ministry. What's the work of the ministry class? Making disciples. And who does that work? The pastor does that work. No, no, no. The pastor equips you and you do the work of the ministry, which is making disciples. So who does the work of the ministry? I want you to say it with me. I do. Who does the work of the ministry? The pastor equips you. You do the work of the ministry and disciples are made. When that happens, Ephesians 4 says the body is built up. It grows. It's edified. So I would say this as a pastor. Your personal growth is my highest priority. I have no other priority than developing believers into mature followers of Christ so they can make disciples. Because when you're built up, you'll do the work of the ministry. Now, let's get real practical this morning. How do we build believers? What do we have in place already as a church to help people get to that next level of spiritual growth? Well, there are a few different ways that we do that, and we call it our ministry path. And I want to just take some time to go over it. Our ministry path begins this morning with biblical preaching at our worship services. So the Great Commission says that we're to make disciples by going, baptizing, and teaching all things that Christ has commanded. So how do we grow believers? By teaching them the Word of God. The Word is milk for the new believer. It is meat for the mature believer. So pastors equip believers by teaching the Word of God. Did you know that we have three different opportunities for you to be taught the Word of God every single week? Sunday morning, which you're at, and thank you for being here. Then we have Sunday night services at 6 o'clock and Wednesday night services every week at 7 o'clock. Now, those Sunday night and Wednesday night services are what I call our growth services because the teaching is going to go a little bit deeper, and they are particularly designed to help Christians mature in the faith. And if you're interested in being a growing Christian, I cannot encourage you strongly enough to show up for those growth services on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Now, those worship services, the biblical preaching, is the entry level for every growing Christian. All of us can participate in that. Well, another thing we do here to help people grow is the First Steps class. Twice a year, I will meet with people who are newly saved and also those who want to become members of our church. And we'll go over our doctrine and our ministry philosophy and just spend a lot of time getting to know them and telling them how they can get involved. And I think every new member of our church ought to go through the First Steps class. The next step on the ministry path is continue discipleship. Continue discipleship. So we ask every new believer and every new church member, by the way, to walk through one-on-one discipleship. It's called continue. Now, Pastor, why do you do that? Well, we do that because that's how Jesus made disciples. Jesus had a multitude ministry, and he preached to multitudes, but he gave the majority of his time to the 12 men whose lives he would transform to change the world. Now, I happen to believe that we can improve on Jesus' methods. How about you? So if we're going to grow disciples, the most effective way we can do that is by breaking down a large group into a very small one-on-one discipleship relationship. Now, if you've never been one-on-one discipled, that's something that needs to happen in your life. At the discipleship sessions, you're going to learn about key doctrines of the faith. More importantly than that, you are going to see how those doctrines are lived out in the life of your discipler. Their life will become a model from which you can learn. Whether you're a brand new Christian or you've been a Christian for 60 years, every disciple needs a discipler. Every Peter, James, and John needs a Jesus. Every Timothy needs a Paul. And if you have never walked through discipleship with a mature Christian, you should start that process today. On your way out today in the main foyer, we have a table set up just for continued discipleship. And many of you have never gone through that should decide, I need a discipler, I need a mentor, and I'm going to start very soon. Stop by the table, get some more information, and sign up. That's an important part of how we grow people here at Worth Baptist Church. So there's worship services, there's the First Steps class, there's continued discipleship. Then once you finish continue, and probably concurrently, we get you into an adult Bible class. I'm talking primarily about adults here. At 10 o'clock every Sunday morning, we have a Bible class for every adult, whether you're single or married, whether you're young or whether you're old. And that's an opportunity for you to hear practical teaching on your life stage from someone who's in that life stage. Let me get real practical. Sunday school is the place where you're going to form the friendships and get the fellowship you need to really grow as a believer. You know, we're not getting much done as far as the way of discipleship goes just by sitting in crowded auditoriums. We need people to enter into our lives, to care about our lives, to help us through the stormy and difficult seasons. Those relationships are formed in our Sunday school class. And in a church like this, we don't really have any other place to form them. Sunday school is where a large church starts to feel like a smaller church. It's where you build the relationships that are really going to help you grow. If you've gotten out of the habit of coming to an adult Bible class, or perhaps you've never come to one, I want to encourage you to come next Sunday, a little before 10 o'clock. Come to the foyer and we'll have someone there who can help you get in a Bible class that will really help you. That is a crucial part of our discipleship here at Worth Baptist Church. And I think everybody who attends at 11 o'clock ought to come at 10 o'clock. It really is that important. Another step in our ministry path is, of course, ministry involvement. Because what's all the equipping and teaching really for? Not just so we can be smart people who sit on a pew. The equipping and the teaching is so that we can do the work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry is what? Making disciples. Your growth as a believer will explode the moment you start investing what you have learned in other people. So get involved in a ministry. On the back of your bulletin today, there's a list of all the ministries that we have here at Worth Baptist Church. If you'd like to get involved, you call our church office this week. And if you've been here a little while, we'll be happy to get you plugged in a ministry. Listen, all of this is very practical and important, but here's the point. God has a plan for your personal growth. God has a plan for your personal growth. It is the local church. And by getting involved in your local church, you will get to the next step in your discipleship, which is absolutely essential. Now, the only way the plan works is if I do my job. And what's my job as the pastor? Equipping you. So I have to do my job, but guess what? You have to do your job. You have to be equipped, and you have to do the work of the ministry. If I do my job and you don't do your job, disciples won't get made. If you try to do your job, but I don't equip you, disciples won't get made. The plan only works when I do my job, equip you, and you do your job, the work of the ministry. Then guess what? We're going to make a whole lot of disciples. So how do we make disciples? We equip believers for the work of the ministry. I want you to notice in the second place, not only do we equip believers, but we assess maturity. We measure or assess maturity. And I want you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, if you will. Have you discovered that spiritual maturity is not about age? Spiritual maturity is not about age, it's about stage. It's not about how long you've been a Christian, but how far you've come as a Christian. The truth of the matter is that we're all in different stages in spiritual maturity. 1 John gives us some categories of spiritual growth, so you and I can take a look at where we are spiritually and try to take the next step today. Look at 1 John chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. But you see what John's doing here? He writes to believers who are in three stages of spiritual growth: little children, young men, and fathers. Now, he's not talking about physical age, because if he did, here's how it would sound. I write unto you, fathers, because you have gray hair and a pot belly. That's not what it says. He says, I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that's from the beginning. You know God. So he's talking about spiritual development here. So there are some Christians that are little children spiritually. There are some that are maturing young adults. And then there are some that are fathers or parents. They've reached a certain level of their maturity. Now, as I combine this passage with a few others, I want to point out very quickly five stages of spiritual development this morning. Stage number one is you're spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. Ephesians 2 and 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You know, you can't expect much in a local church from a dead person. We were all spiritually dead, and it was through the grace of God that any of us became alive. The Bible says that we are all sinners, and that the wages of sin is death. Not just a physical death, but a spiritual death, a separation from God in a real place called hell. Now, did you know you don't have to die to be spiritually dead? You die spiritually because you are spiritually dead. We are born into this world spiritually dead, and we need a resurrection, a regeneration through Christ. So the Bible says in Romans 5 and 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet spiritually dead, Christ died for us. The Bible says we're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Would you listen very carefully? If you're here today and you can't identify a spiritual birthday, that's something you need to be able to identify. My physical birthday is July the 13th, 1983. That's the day I was born. That's the day they recognize I had life. Did you know every person needs a spiritual birthday? A time and a place in your life where you recognize you were a sinner, you could not save yourself, that Jesus died for you and rose again, and that faith in him was the only way to heaven. He was offering you a free gift of salvation, and by faith, you reached out and took it. Now, I don't know the exact day, but my spiritual birthday took place when I was 6 years old. And if you don't have a spiritual birthday, you need one today. That's the first step in spiritual growth. So we all are born spiritually dead. But after we're saved, the next step of our development is we are spiritual infants. Listen to 1 Peter 2 and 2. The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I don't care how old you are when you believe. Some of you were children, some of you were adults. I don't care how old you were when you believed. We all come into the kingdom of God as spiritual infants. Listen to Hebrews 5. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The writer of Hebrews says there's a problem with you folks. You got stuck in the spiritual nursery. You never did mature like God wanted you to mature, and I can't give you the meat of the word because you're stuck on the milk of the word. I say again, age is no guarantee of spiritual maturity. There are many that have been saved for decades, and they still act like they belong in the spiritual nursery. Now, can I give you two characteristics of infants? Number one, infants are ignorant. They don't know the word. They're not unintelligent. They're just uninformed. They need the truth. They've been programmed by this world to respond to life situations in an immature way. And like actual infants, they just don't know any better. Infants are immature. Number two, they are loud. And all God's new mothers said, amen. You know, infants need constant care and affection. They'll consume massive amounts of time for more mature Christians. Now, we were all there, and we ought to thank God that there were some people who were patient with us and invested the time and helped us grow. Amen? Now, here are two things that an infant might say. Number one, does the Bible say I really need to come to church? They're asking a question. They don't know what the Bible says. Somebody needs to tell them what the Bible says. Or how about this one? I joined the church this week and I lost my job the next week. I thought getting saved meant that God was going to fix all my problems. And we know that isn't true necessarily, right? So what do they need? They need teaching and they need constant care and affection to get to the next level of spiritual growth. So we all start out as spiritually dead. We come into the kingdom as infants. The next stage in our growth is the stage of little children. John says, you little children have known the Father. So they're progressing from the nursery. They're getting to know God. But though they're growing, there's still a lot of growth to make in their spiritual life. Two characteristics of little children. Number one, self-centeredness. And all God's mother said, yeah. You know, children have to grow out of selfishness. We all come into the world revolving around ourselves. Another thing a child has is a craving for affirmation and affection. And in that stage of spiritual growth, they're going to need to be affirmed and get a lot of affection. Now, here are two things a spiritual child might say. And I tell you this because I want you to assess yourself and the people you're working with. A child might say, number one, this church doesn't have a fill-in-the-blank ministry. I need a fill-in-the-blank ministry, so I'm going to find another church. You see that? It's very self-centered. Number two, I tried working in the children's ministry one time, but no one appreciated me or sent me a note, so I dropped out. Okay? Now, what does a little child need? Well, they need a connection with a mature believer who will nurture them and challenge them to live a God-centered life instead of a self-centered life. And they need people to be very patient with them in that stage of growth. So we come in as spiritually dead, we become spiritual infants, we grow past that to become little children, and then we become what 1 John says, we become young men, or if I could say it this way, young adults. John said in 1 John 2 that the young men are strong. The word of God is abiding in them. They are overcoming the wicked one. And this is the stage in spiritual growth where some great things start to happen. Now, spiritual young adults are characterized, number one, by a victory over personal sin. They are overcoming the wicked one. Maybe they had an addiction problem, but they get help. They get the word of God, and they get some victory over that. Maybe you've got a man who struggles with pornography or a woman who struggles with victory. This is the stage where they really start to get free from the power of those sins, and they start to move on. Number two, they're characterized by God-centeredness over self-centeredness. They realized God hadn't put them in the body of Christ to take, but to give. And they're getting active in ministry and have a hunger to learn the word of God and overcome the wicked one. Now, here are two things that a spiritual young adult might say. As I was reading my Bible this morning, I came across something I have a question about, and I wonder if you could answer it. You see some maturity there? They're getting into the Bible themselves. They're starting to grow. But they're also reaching out to more mature believers to help them get the answers that they need. Then they would say, you know, I saw a guest looking for the seat during the worship service this morning, and there wasn't a seat nearby, and they really wanted to sit in this section. So instead of giving them an ugly look and saying, find somewhere else to sit, I got up and gave them my seat and moved to the back. That's the sign of a spiritually growing person. So that's a spiritual young adult. Now, the last stage of spiritual growth is what John calls the fathers, or if I could say it this way, the parents. Now, this is the peak of spiritual maturity. Now, it's not like any of us ever arrive and we ever stop growing, but you know you've become a spiritually mature person when you've reached the stage that John talks about, the stage of parenthood. Now, the parent has one defining characteristic, and guess what it is? Reproduction. A physically mature adult reproduces himself in having children. The spiritually mature adult reproduces himself or herself by making disciples. So if you were to tell me, Pastor Gillett, I'm a spiritually mature person, my first question to you would be, who are you discipling? Who are you mentoring? Whose life are you investing your life in? Who are you reaching? Who are you growing? Who are you sending? Because those are the marks of the mature. Here are a couple things a spiritual parent might say. You know, I saw a new person in my Sunday school class this morning. Never seen that person before. I wonder if she's saved. I wonder if she's ever been baptized. I wonder if anybody has ever discipled her. I'd really like to get to know her so I can help her take her next step of spiritual growth. Another thing a spiritually mature person might say, you know, Bill at work has been asking me a lot of questions about my faith. Would you please pray for me as I take him out to lunch tomorrow and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with him? Those are the things that spiritually mature people say. Now, we've gone very quickly through the stages of spiritual growth. But let me say this. Every person in every stage is equally valuable to God. God loves those who are still lost, doesn't he? God loves spiritual infants. He loves spiritual little children. He loves the spiritual mature. Because each person is loved by God and valuable to God, they ought to be loved by us and valuable to us as a church. Now, if you've been a Christian very long, you've probably been in and out of a few of those stages. You've gone backward some and you've gone forward some. My question today is, where are you right now? Where are you right now? And what step do you need to take in your spiritual life to get you to the next level? If you're stuck in spiritual immaturity or adolescence, and a lot of Christians are, you know what you need? You need a mentor. You need a discipler. But it is also possible, if you're in that young adult stage, that you won't get to the next level until you find someone to disciple. Till you invest your life in the life of someone else. You know, somewhere along the line, and it's a sad thing, some of us stopped growing. And if you were to really assess your spiritual life, you would have to say, I've not experienced significant growth in 5, 10, 15, or 20 years. Some of you got saved and you got in church, but you haven't grown since. Can I tell you something? That's not what God wants for any of us. It is not okay to be stuck or stagnant spiritually. He wants every Christian to grow. So number one, we equip believers. Number two, we measure maturity. Where are you today? Number three, this is the way we make disciples. We accept responsibility. We accept responsibility. Listen to 2 Peter 3:18. Peter said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Folks, this is a command every Christian needs to obey. Grow in grace. Wherever you are, at whatever stage of your development, God wants you to keep growing. Now listen, there are three parts to disciple making. Number one, the discipler's part. Number two, the disciple's part. Number three, God's part. I can't do your part. You can't do my part. I can't do God's part, but I must do my part. You get that? All right, so would you like to grow? Let me give you four ways you can. Number one, be faithful. And I'm going to give you some things that I look for in everybody that I disciple. Number one, be faithful. Paul told Timothy to teach faithful men, to teach faithful men. So I want to encourage you to start attending our growth services on Sunday night and Wednesday night. The teaching is a little deeper. People have a little more time to invest in you than we're rushing out on Sunday morning and trying to get to the cafeteria before the Methodists get there, all right? So if you want to grow, be faithful. Number two, be available. Be available. It takes more than 30 minutes a week to grow into a mature follower of Jesus Christ. And I need you to have that conviction if you're going to grow. It will take more than 30 minutes a week for me to become a mature follower of Jesus Christ. If you really want to grow, you're going to spend a lot of time rubbing shoulders with mature followers of Jesus Christ, getting to know them, observing their life. Make yourself available for continue. Make yourself available for adult Bible class. Ask a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or a staff member to be your mentor. If you're really going to grow, you're going to have to clear some things off of your calendar, get involved, and make it a priority. No disciple can grow unless they're available. The next thing, you got to be teachable. Have you ever tried to teach someone who wasn't teachable? Sometimes I feel like I'm learning more from those I'm discipling than they learn from me. The truth of the matter is that none of us have arrived. So show up to worship services, show up to Bible classes, show up to discipleship time ready to learn, because that's the only way any of us grow. Lastly, be sendable. Be sendable. Pastor, I think you just made up a word. You better believe I made up a word. Remember, the mark of spiritual maturity is not that, the mark of spiritual maturity is that you're helping someone else grow spiritually mature. That's how you know you've reached the pinnacle. I'm convinced that God gives great light to people who will spread that light, not people who will hide it. And as I've said before, the greatest growth explosion you'll have in your Christian life is when you take the challenge of making someone else a disciple. You'll learn a lot more by teaching them than you will by being taught. So let's review. I think we need a review. Let's review. The mission of the church is what? Making disciples. Do I need to preach this message again? Please no, you say. The mission of the church is what? Making disciples. And we must not as a people ever drift from that mission. How do we make disciples? We reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. After we reach them, we don't abandon spiritual infants. We develop them. How do we do that? By equipping each other to make disciples. By measuring their maturity and our own maturity. By accepting responsibility for our growth and their growth. Being faithful, available, teachable, and sendable. The Harvard Business Review published an article one time on succeeding in business. They made a categorical statement. Everyone who makes it has a mentor. Can I tell you the same thing is true for the Christian life? Peter, Andrew, James, and John wouldn't have made it without Jesus, would they? Timothy wouldn't have made it without Paul. And every Christian in this room is either in need of a mentor or someone to mentor. And a healthy church consists of people who have a conviction. We're here today to make disciples. This is why we exist. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word that lays out in such practical ways how we're to grow as Christian people. Lord, you love us too much to want us to remain in spiritual infancy. You love us too much for us to stay loud and messy. You want us to grow. You want us to become mature. And along the way, you want us to teach others what we've learned. Lord, you've told us exactly how that happens in your word. And a great church is a church full of people who just implement the program that you've already put in place. Lord, if there is someone here who has never taken the first step of spiritual growth, if they've never been saved, I pray today you'd save them. Every other person in this room needs to grow spiritually. And they either need a mentor or they need someone to mentor. And I pray today you do a work on our convictions. Help us to see the necessity of this. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed and every eye closed, the first step of spiritual growth is salvation. Is there anyone here who would say, Pastor, you were talking about Jesus dying for me, rising from the grave. Knowing for sure I've received the free gift of salvation, that I'm on my way to heaven. If I was being totally honest today, I don't know for sure where I'll spend eternity. I'm not sure I've ever been saved the Bible way. If that's you, I want you to know everything wonderful in the Christian life begins with the decision to take Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Every growing person in that room has made that choice. They sat right where you sat, outside the kingdom of God. And they made a decision on a certain day that they would trust in Christ. If you're here today and you've never made that decision, we'd like to help you make it. Would someone say, Pastor, if I'm being totally honest with God and you, if I were to die today, I'm not sure I'd go straight to heaven. Would you please pray for me? With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you lift your hand with mine? I'm not saved, or I'm just not sure about it. Pastor, would you please pray for me? Would you lift your hand with mine? If you're here today and you don't know Christ, here in just a moment, we'll have an invitation. Everyone will stand, we'll begin to sing. We want to invite you to leave your seat. At the front, there'll be workers here, men with men and ladies with ladies, and they'll show you from the Bible, not the Baptist way, but the Bible way, how you can be saved today. That's the most important step anyone ever makes, and it's where everything begins. And I hope today you'll take that step. How many of you Christians would say, Pastor, I believe everything you taught today came straight from the Bible. As I assess my own life in light of God's word, I recognize I need to take a spiritual step. There is a particular area of my life where I know I need to grow, and God has spoken to me. If that's you, would you be honest enough to lift your hand and let me pray for you today? Hands all over the room. And I don't know exactly what God is saying to you today, but I want to ask you to be faithful to it, to be obedient to it. If there's a decision he's asking you to make, would you step out here in just a moment? Find a place at the altar. Christian, you may need someone to pray with you today. Our workers are here for you. You step out and come. How many of you would say, Pastor, as I've listened to this message, I realize what I really need is a mentor, a mature Christian to come into my life and teach me some things I need to know. I've never had that before, but I really want it. If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine? I really need a mentor. That's several of our new Christians here. Perhaps you'd like to come and pray for a mentor today. I would encourage you on your way out in the main foyer. There is that table, Continue Discipleship. That's the place to go if you would like a mentor, if you would like a discipler. And this week, we'll get you paired up with someone who loves God's word and loves you and will walk through life with you. And if you raise your hand, I pray you'll come here in just a moment. But even more importantly, go to that table after the service is over. How many of you would say, Pastor, I guess what I really need is someone to mentor? If that's the mark of spiritual maturity, that's the next step I need to take. And God has spoken to my heart. I've been a disciple for a while. I need to become a disciple maker. Pastor, would you please pray for me? If that's you, would you lift your hand today? Many of you there. I'm going to say the same thing to you I just said. Leave your seat and pray for someone to disciple, someone to reach. If you'd like to become a disciple maker, we're also going to ask you to go to the table after the service today. Let our worker there. I want to get involved in discipleship making or disciple making here at Worth Baptist Church. Father, thank you again for how you've spoken to so many hearts. I pray that these next few moments and the hours that follow will be moments of obedience where your church accepts this conviction to make disciples. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.